heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Connolly, glad to be with you again here as we are entering into the next week, the fifth week, the fifth Sunday in the season of Easter. We continue our celebration of new life, and I mentioned last week how maybe kids are getting a little squirrely and everything. We're going to actually have two seniors from Visitation School with us to talk about if they're getting squirrely or not. That's going to be one of my lead questions to them. I'm giving them fair warning, heads up. But, you know, it's also a time of the year for doing some planning. We're going to also be talking with Abe Gross about the planning of the upcoming Archdiocese and Pentecost Mass and what's going on there. It is a season of planning, too, of what we're going to do over the course of our summers. Summers is still a gift to us. Many of us choose to take our vacations over the summertime to get out and see some of creation, to be maybe get away from the hustle and bustle of urban everyday life and experience some other part of creation that we're just not as familiar with, or we see some of the newness. We are, in a sense, recreated. That's where recreation comes from, right? We are recreated as we go out into the world and we experience some of what God has that is different than what our normal everyday, day-to-day life is. And I just want to encourage you, too, as you're thinking about making summer plans, you're thinking about where you might be traveling, always make your vacation, at least in some small way, a pilgrimage, right? So take some time to visit the different sources or centers of spirituality, of Catholic spirituality around, whether that's just a local parish. One of the things my wife and I love to do when we're traveling is if we're traveling in or near a cathedral city, stop and see the cathedral, see what's going on, and get a sense for God's presence there in the cathedral. But even if you're not, go to the local parish, and I don't just mean for Mass, but stop by. Make an effort to stop by. Visit the Adoration Chapel if they have one. Make sure that you check out to see if there's any shrines in the neighborhood that are worthy of seeing. I know, of course, many of you have been down to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. I mean, that's a great place to go as you're headed, if you're headed in the general southerly direction from the Twin Cities. You know that you could stop by there as well. In all these different ways and places, this is a way of setting apart our relationship with the Father as important to us and recognizing that when we are getting away, that we need to rely on Him for true rest, for true rest. One of the great gifts that I think the Church gives us is that we still have this idea of Sabbath, even though the Lord's Day is now the day that we are to have as a day of rest, so Sunday rather than Saturday in the ancient Hebrew tradition. Sunday now being the day of rest, we still need that. We still need that. But I mean, we need to have it as good and holy rest. We need to take some time to lean into the Lord and be recreated by Him, and not just by getting away and doing whatever we feel we would like to. So even if there are plans of, who knows, going to see some natural splendor or water parks and mini golf or whatever it might be that's coming up in terms of your summer vacation plans, make sure that there's some really good rest in there as well. So maybe a little bit of time in a parish church, in a cathedral, in an adoration chapel before the Lord will be something that the Lord will take full advantage of in terms of providing you with that sense of rest, a refocusing time, a time to remember the deep and important things of life. The things that our Father has granted us and that we can return thanksgiving for, the things that take us away from just falling into this routine of self promotion and pursuit after those things of the world that are not really that much that desirable when it comes to the things of all eternity. So that's my encouragement to you today. As I already mentioned, we've got a great show coming up, and we're going to be talking about plans some further with Bella Masha and Sarah Pignota, who are with us, and they're going to be talking about what's next for them as they graduate from Visitation here in just a couple weeks. As I said, Abe Gross is also with us. He's the music coordinator for St. Paul's Outreach, but he's helping to plan the music for the Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass coming up on June the 8th. And then a little bit later in the program, Father Spencer Howe is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about, we've talked about this a few times during our calendar of events, he's going to be talking to us about this unique outreach that he's developed to the arts community there in Northeast Minneapolis at St. Clement. So that's what's coming up with him as well. So as we enter into the show today, let's, as always, pause and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother in this, her month, the month of May. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're into our first break. When we come back, Bella Masha and Sarah Pignota are with us to talk about their senior year at Visitation and what's next, so don't miss it.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
It's more than you need. It's safe here with me. It all starts the moment you believe.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I am joined in studio by two young women, Bella Masha, who is a senior at Visitation, and she is a diver at school as well as in the North Star Diving Club, leader of Life Club. She's an extraordinary minister leader. I asked her before the show began if she followed in anything or if she's only leading. She enjoys photography and the outdoors, gymnastics, and leading small groups and confirmation retreats, so sign her up. And then also Sarah Pignota is with us, also a senior at Visitation. She played soccer freshman to junior and hockey. She is a hockey woman all 4 years, part of the Life Club, and a yearbook editor as well. Ladies, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you with us. All right, so let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about Visitation, and it's your senior year. How are you feeling? I mean, you've only got a couple weeks now until graduation. What's going on inside? Excited? Nervous? What's going on?
I'm excited to get out, but also nervous about what the future holds, and I'm planning on going to the University of Minnesota, and I know that's a big public university, and I've gone to a small Catholic school since fifth grade, so it'll be a new experience for me. But I hope to get involved in the Newman Center and just find my group of people there.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. But before we get to you, Bella, Sarah, let me ask you, how did you decide on the University of Minnesota?
Well, my grandpa went there, and so did my dad and my aunt. And it's just always been, I don't know, like a part of it's. I live so close to it, so I've always walked through campus, and I just want to stay close to my family, and my family is important to me, and the University of Minnesota is close.
Are you going to be playing hockey at the University of Minnesota?
Probably intramural, not club. Or D1. So, okay. Yeah, that's too much.
Just out of curiosity, what position do you play in hockey?
I play center.
Center?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Usually when I ask people that, somehow I always get the defensive positions. They always say, I play defense. You're the first person I've had to play center.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well,
I love
congratulations.
It. Thank
yeah.
you.
Well, you must be very athletic. It takes a lot of moving around to play center.
Thank you.
Wow. All right, Bella, how about over you? How are things going? What's going on inside as you're getting ready for saying goodbye to Visitation?
It all feels very surreal. It's coming very fast, but like Sarah said, I'm also excited to get out and like just new experiences. It's all coming really fast, but it'll be a good adventure and a new chapter. So Super excited. I am attending the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, and I'm just looking forward to a whole new start. So.
Wow, great. All right. And so did you go to Catholic school before visitation as well when you were in elementary school and junior high?
Yes. So for elementary school and middle school, I went to St. Ambrose of Woodbury, mm-hmm. and then I've gone to visitation since freshman year.
Okay, wonderful. All right. So similar question that I had for Sarah, mm-hmm. for you, Bella, as you're getting ready to go to St. Thomas, any involvement in things that you love there coming up, like photography or gymnastics or anything like that?
I will be diving, actually.
You will be diving?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. For the actual school?
Yes.
On the diving team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
All right, I'll pitch this one at you first, Bella. What are you going to be studying? Do you know yet at St. Thomas?
Major is undecided so far. I was thinking possibly doing ultrasound tech and going into OBGYN.
Oh, really?
But I for sure am going to minor in Catholic studies.
Nice. Okay. I've heard really good things. We've had a number of people who have been part of Catholic studies on the program here.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. Sarah, how about you? You know what you're studying at University of Minnesota?
Yes, I got into the College of Science and Engineering, and I want to major in biomedical engineering, hopefully with an emphasis in medical devices. I've been really interested and inspired when my grandpa first got his pacemaker. It really has put a lot of more years on his life.
Yeah.
Inspired by that and just helping people that way if God is calling me to do that.
No, I love the clarification. If God is calling me to do that, that's wonderful. So engineering, science, math, that's kind of your thing,
my
right?
thing, yeah.
Wow. And a hockey player. I mean, gee. Very well-rounded young woman
Thank
here.
You.
All right. Yeah, very good. Wonderful. All right. So looking back over your time in visitation, what are some of the things that you're really going to miss about visitation? Sarah, we'll start with you.
I'm really going to miss the community and the all girls aspect. I think the single gender thing has really helped me just grow as a person. There's no distractions, just creating that sisterhood and creating these friendships that will last me a lifetime and I will connect with even in college,
mm-hmm.
and just the importance of charity and the little virtues that we've lived out every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something I will carry with me in college and won't forget, just finding joy and happiness and kindness in everyone I meet.
Wonderful. Okay, Bella, how about you?
Just kind of going back to that relationships aspect of visitation, not only do we create those relationships with our classmates, but we also have really good relationships with our teachers as well. Mm. And everyone just kind of becomes a big happy family kind of thing. And it's just something that has become really close and dear to my heart. And the little virtues are something that we have every single year, like a theme kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
from our founders, who are St. Jane de Chantal and St. Francis de Sales. And those things are just kind of something that helps remind us of little things to see God in every day. So mm-hmm. I think those are definitely something that I'll take away as well.
Now, you're both headed to pretty massive schools. Now, St. Mm-hmm. Thomas, of course, is large, but it is Catholic. It's a Catholic mm-hmm. school, whereas the University of Minnesota, of course, is a public school. But huge community. How do you think you'll go about making friends and building a community there at university? Bella, we'll start with you this time.
I think being part of a diving team will really help me create new friendships and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just having kind of a new group that I'll just be able to walk into right away. I have a friend who is actually on the diving team already, and she is part of the Catholic outreach at St. Thomas as well. And so I've talked to her, and she's told me she's going to introduce me to the whole program and everything. And so I'm planning on joining that and just kind of being able to really be able to grow in my faith, but also everything else socially. So
great answer. Actually, let me ask you one further question, because I asked for clarification on Sarah's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you clarification on diving, because I am outside of when the Summer Olympics are all around, I'm clueless about diving. But so do you do both springboard and platform diving?
So St. Thomas is a D3 school, which they usually only do springboard.
Okay.
So I'll be doing 1 meter springboard and 3 meter springboard.
Okay. 3 meters. So that's what, almost 10 feet, I suppose, somewhere around there.
About there.
Is that right?
About that,
something like that, right. Science and engineering and math are not, well, they used to be, but they're no longer my strong points, right? Okay, all right. So that's still quite a ways up there, and you're, all right. Okay, I'm impressed. All right, very good. All right, Sarah, over to you. How do you think you'll, okay, so I was a student at the University of Minnesota. I was a gopher at one point.
Oh, wow.
It's a massive, as I remember, it's one of the largest, it's in the top 10 or 12 largest schools in the nation. So how do you think you're going to make community, build community there?
Well, first, I've been to the Newman Center on campus before.
You have already?
Yes, and I've been to Mass at St. Lawrence, which is the church on campus. So I've seen what that is like in the community there, and I've been to Adoration after there as well, and it was a really welcoming community. And I just hope to get involved there as soon as I get there and just create friends that way, because I know it's a large community or a large school, so creating that small, those small friendships and group there would be really important to me. And then also with engineering, there's a lot of clubs and just study groups. So I hope in that way I can create friends that way.
Sure.
In a large, large university.
Yeah. Well, I remember it just reflecting on my own experience. I remember seeing two people in the fall of my freshman year. They came running up and they embraced each other. They clearly hadn't seen each other all summer. But it clicked in my head, like, this is something that can be done.
Yes,
you can get
yes.
to know people, even amongst the tens of thousands of people that are surrounding you. You can do that. So I'm sure you'll do well.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all right. So what about the whole, you mentioned this, Sarah. You mentioned the single gender element of visitation. And you said that was really great and helped you to be free from distraction, that sort of thing. Obviously, at the University of St. Thomas and the University of Minnesota, not single gender anymore,
nope.
right? So do you have any anticipation about that? Is there any kind of excitement or nervousness about it being a co-ed school?
I feel excited and nervous, just like a new start. But then also I've been having the single gender since eighth grade. I came to visit in eighth grade, so it'll be different, but I'm excited just for a change.
Okay. All right. Very good. How about you, Bella?
Yeah, same with me. My sister went to visitation as well, and I just always remember how her first day of college, she texted me and she was like, why are there boys in my class? I just think it's like going to be interesting and very different, and but I'm also looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a good change and kind of really open my eyes up to reality that it's not always going to be girls around me all the time kind of thing. And I actually have to, like, be more presentable, I guess, than what we kind of, the everyday viz girl kind of life.
Yeah. Did you say more presentable?
Yeah.
in terms of...
We kind of...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. We like to kind of say we get ready 10 minutes before we have to leave for school.
And just kind of roll out of bed.
Yep.
I understand
so
that.
So we have like our viz bun, we call it, which is like kind of just throw your hair
up really quick and
walk out the door and you're good.
Right. Well, I got to say this, being a former gopher, right, is that there are plenty of days when people would show up for class in their pajamas. So
yeah, that's what my dad has told me too.
Exactly, right. And I think, so I don't know about St. Thomas, but I'm guessing there's quite a few that are there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, do you both know your living arrangements for the fall? Are you going to be living in student housing in the dorms, or do you know yet, Bella?
Yeah, I'll be living in the dorms on campus.
Is it part of do you have specifically like an athlete's wing or an athlete's dorm or something like that, or is it just general...
You can do that, but I am living just in general.
Okay.
Housing.
And do you know who your roommates are going to be yet, or are you yet to find that out?
I do. It's a friend of one of my other friends, so we know each other through mutual friends.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. How about you, Sarah?
I'm living on campus as well, and I found my roommate through the Facebook page. There's a U of M Facebook page for the freshmen, and you can like post stuff about you and what you're interested in and your values and stuff and post pictures. And I found a roommate that way, and we actually met a couple weeks ago, and we decided that we'd be compatible as roommates. So it worked out.
Great. Yeah, that's great. Which dorm are you living in?
I do not yet, but I submitted or I requested Pioneer, which is the one they just redid. So hopefully, crossing my fingers, I'll get in the brand new one.
Right. Well, I remember I requested my dorm based on, how many people shared a bathroom, I think.
That's true.
All right. So how are your parents feeling about this? Have they expressed to you anything about how they're feeling now that, you know, their babies are graduating and that sort of thing. How about you, Sarah? What do you think? Are your parents, are they proud of you? Are they excited for you? Are they nervous about it or what?
They're proud, but also I feel like they're nervous and just sad because I'm the youngest child. My brother is a freshman at Benedictine College in Kansas. So they'll be without any children at home. So I feel like they'll just be sad. And they've been a big part of my life and helping me with academics and sports and always supporting me. So I feel like I'll just have a lot of free time without both of us there. So.
Well, a little bit of an empty nest thing going on. Yeah. But you said you're close by, right? I mean,
yeah. So I'll visit and come back every once in a while. Yeah. So it'll be good that I'm close. It's one of the main reasons I chose the U of M, so I could stay close with my family.
Okay. Very good. Bella, how about you? How are your folks feeling?
I think they're excited, but also sad. I am also the youngest of four, actually. So, my sister will be graduating in December, and so then I'm going to be the only one in college, and all my siblings are all going their separate ways kind of thing. So, it's kind of a whole new chapter for everyone, I guess you could say, in my family. Yeah. So, I think they're excited to see where everything goes, but they're also pretty sad.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Well, Sarah, you said your brother's in Kansas now. Are your siblings, Bella, are they all kind of spread out around the country now, or are they are they still around the Twin Cities area?
My sister is a senior, which...
Oh, right. Yeah.
She'll have an extra semester, but she's a senior at UW-Eau Claire.
Okay.
And then I have a brother who currently lives at home, but he works in Woodbury, so nearby.
Okay.
And then my oldest brother currently lives in Livingston, Montana. So
wow,
he's
that's
a little
bit
farther.
yes, absolutely. All right, so we've got just a couple minutes left, but I love doing this, even though people, I don't know what it's like to be on the receiving end of this, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. So if you had a word of advice to give to, say, somebody who's a year behind you, just so they've got 1 year left of high school, what would you encourage them to do in that final year to make the most of it in terms of their, you know, their certainly their academics, in terms of their faith, and in terms of the relationships that they're building? Bella?
That's hard. I would probably say it goes so fast, like in a blink of an eye. It feels like yesterday we were just starting senior year, or even like freshman orientation kind of thing. So I would say really just reach out to all of the people you can. Like, you don't have a lot more time left with them. And so just kind of creating all the memories you have and just really value the time that you have left with everybody and just kind of really make it special.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Sarah?
Building off what Bella said, something at Viz that we always say is live in the present moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's really important in the coming days for the rising seniors. Mm-hmm. If I gave them advice, is just don't wish any time away, even if you're super stressed out. It's something that Visit is just such a special community that I wouldn't want anyone to wish it away.
Yeah. Wow. Sage advice from two, yeah, very well-rounded and wonderful young ladies. So, ladies, I am so grateful that you've joined us here on the Rediscover Hour, and I'm sure that all of us wish you the very best and will uphold you in prayer as you, and all your classmates in prayer as you begin this next chapter of life. It's an exciting time, but it's also can be a little nerve-wracking, especially as there's so much new going on. But we thank you for that. Sarah Pignota, Bella Masha, thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, God bless you. All right, so we are going to transition now from Sarah and Bella to Abe. Wow, what a great interview. I mean, these young ladies are wonderful in the experiences that they're having and in what's coming for them. So pray for all of our seniors as this is graduation time and as they're moving into this very important time of life where they're figuring out what's next. But Abe is now what's next for us here on the Rediscover Hour. Abe Gross grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. He enjoys learning and building relationships and family and music. He is currently a music coordinator for St. Paul's Outreach, if you've heard of them. And he's helping to plan the music for the Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass. Hello, Abe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I appreciate you being here. Well, before we get into the Pentecost Mass, is what we really want to talk about. I want to get to know you a little bit more here. So, first of all, how did you get involved with SPO?
I actually have been involved for a long time. I got to know SPO in high school, actually.
Okay.
A number of the small group leaders from my senior year in high school youth group were from SPO.
Okay.
So I ended up going to a few SPO events my senior year.
Kind of a post-secondary SPO.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think it was more of a recruitment event from their perspective. Which
not surprising.
Worked,
it yes.
worked
it
well.
It worked, yes.
Because it was really interesting listening to Sarah and Bella. They were talking about, it's awesome to hear people who are actually actively going into college knowing, I want to connect with my faith and I want to get involved, because so often, you know, Mass for your average high schooler, they haven't necessarily chosen it for themselves. And so they do it for a couple of weeks, maybe in college. But then after a couple of weeks, like, that routine wears off. Mm. They're into the day-to-day of college life, and they kind of drift away. Yeah. So it's really encouraging to hear them say, hey, I want to get involved in the colleges that I'm at. And actually, SPO is at both those colleges.
Yeah.
So the group that I think it was Sarah was talking about, I was like, oh, I know them. They're SPO.
Right,
so,
yeah, uh-huh. Very good.
So I'm excited for them to get involved and to see what that's all about and to build relationships there. And it was really, for me, it was the relationships with the people and that tie over from high school into college. I ended up living in household then. Actually, my freshman year, I lived in a household of guys. We prayed morning prayer together. We had meals together.
Great.
Got to know each other.
What college was this?
I was going to University of Minnesota.
Okay.
But this household was at University of St. Thomas.
Oh.
So I was
you covered both of them. Yeah, Sarah and Bella's both. All right.
So I kind of got involved that way and ended up then moving to Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
For a year. And I did a year of inner city work with young kids in Detroit, Michigan, which was just an incredible experience. Lived with some brothers out there. It was really a good time. I had a major conversion experience where I really met the Lord.
Nice.
And that kind of led to that move, and then being in Detroit, seeing that need, having to come face to face with my own need for the Lord every day, really kind of put my feet on solid ground with the Lord to really make decisions, not just to in theory be like, yeah, I believe this, but to really put my feet on the rock and to actually have to live in it, which was huge. So I actually ended up transferring schools then.
Okay.
And I ended up we also talked about that earlier. I went to Benedictine College.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up graduating from Benedictine and kind of restarting. We had kind of waned in our SPO life there.
Okay.
And me and a group of students ended up kind of restarting SPO there. Which was an awesome adventure.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to kind of get on that end of, you know, starting to kind of work for SPO. And so then as I was thinking about like, okay, what am I going to do after college? I actually had a number of options. I did psychology and I really enjoyed that.
Okay.
But that's a whole conversation we can get into for another time. But psychology in this day and age, you know, it's just a Goliath. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I did not feel God calling me to take on that particular giant at that time. And so then I was kind of thinking about, what am I going to do? And then I started looking at what I was already doing. And I was like, well, I'm reaching out to students, telling them about the Lord, leading worship for stuff. I'm pretty much already working for SPO. And God was like, yep, like this is what I have for you. You're already doing it. So it seemed like a hard, you know, like heart-wrenching discernment, but it ended up being pretty easy once I really took a step back and looked at what I was doing.
One of these, the Lord loves you and SPO has a wonderful plan for your life.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I definitely was able to make my own decision.
Good.
It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, having worked in campus ministry myself, I'm thrilled that you said yes to that.
Then yeah.
You're continuing to do that as well.
Oh, that's great. Where were you at?
I was, I started here at the University of Minnesota.
Oh, cool.
And this was before I was Catholic, so it was with a Protestant evangelical, kind of an interdenominational group. But I was right here in town.
So you know the world.
Well, I do know the world of campus ministry.
Yeah.
It's ups and it's downs,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, okay, well, now introduce us to the whole music thing. How have you been a musician all your life, and how has that developed, especially since you've had this conversion experience? How did music continue to take the center role in your life?
Well, hopefully the Lord has a center role in my life.
Good point.
But yeah, music is up there. So I have a picture of maybe when I'm 3 and I have an old classical guitar.
Really?
And I think I'm, you know, screaming some song and hitting it, you know, hitting it like a drum. And I like that because it was a good
picture. Can you send us that? We'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah. If I can find it,
yeah,
I will.
Yeah, that's great.
But anyhow, so from a very young age, my parents actually met. They were Christian musicians. So my mom traveled for 1 or 2 summers, and my dad actually traveled for 3 summers kind of doing music and concerts and ministry in that way, kind of early on back in the 70s. So that's kind of goes deep in my life growing up. There was music around and instruments around. And so I was forced to play the piano, which I hated, but I'm really grateful for it. It was a really good foundation. And then I actually had picked up the guitar probably when I was 9
okay.
or so, and have been playing guitar ever since. Mm-hmm. And really, through high school and into college, it became kind of a central thing that I was doing. I was in many bands and different kind of projects that I had worked on, and actually got into some recording as well. So yeah, it took up a good amount of time, hopefully mostly good time, and has been a big part of what I do for the past while. So actually, when I went, I talked about my time in Detroit, and when I went to Detroit, I actually put down music for a time. It had become, I had this grand plan of, you know, going and being a musician and all that, which is great, but wasn't kind of ordered right. And so actually it was a grace that God allowed me to just say, you know what, I'm going to kind of put this aside for a while. That led to learning how to lead worship. Yeah. I had been around that, honestly, my whole life. I'd been around that kind of prayer and always had been a musician and always had been like, I don't get why don't they have me do this? You know, sort of. But it was because my heart was not in the right place, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't understand what was going on, and I didn't understand that it really is all about God, you're God. I'm not. This isn't about me, and this isn't even about good music, even though, you know, you want something that's pleasant to listen to, but it's not that's not the central part of it. It's a prayer, and it's about, Lord, I want you to be God and not me. And so I really learned that in my time in Detroit, and started to pick the guitar back up again and started to play. And it was different. And actually had a great teacher out there, Ed Conlin. He's a really good worship writer out there who's written a number of really great worship songs. And so he really coached me into how to do that and how to really change my heart to allow the Lord to use my music and the gifts that he had given me to give them back to him. And so that was just a joy to learn how to do that and to learn how to really have some meaning behind what I was doing beyond, like, I want to make awesome music, you know,
right.
Which is still great. I still love to make awesome music, but there's a point behind it and there's a prayer behind it. And that's really a blessing to be able to have that. So I took that back to Benedictine when I went back there, and turns out there were all their people who were doing that sort of thing had graduated. So it was the perfect opportunity to step up and learn. And so it was a blast.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah. And now you continue to do that here with St. Paul's Outreach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that's a lot of what I'm doing with St. Paul's Outreach is kind of coordinating and training new musicians. It's a really cool spot of influence for me that I have to remind myself every once in a while, like, hey, like, I get to train some of the people who are going to be leading worship at their chapters. But then some of these people have gone on to, you know, play for mass and do other things at their parish. And so it's just really great to be able to just plant little seeds like that, like was what was given to me.
Sure.
And then plant those little seeds that they can then blossom into being able to use this kind of prayer as well in their parishes and in all the places they go, because we're all over the country.
Sounds like a bit of a biblical concept going on there.
Yeah,
Scattering the seed
exactly.
And seeing more fruit.
Yeah. So we're actually coming into our training time soon, which actually the Pentecost Mass will actually coincide with, we will have about 120 of our missionaries in town. And so we'll help out with the mass and kind of setting up and some of the music and all of that. And so during that training time, it'll be kind of 6 weeks starting in June and going through July 4th. And I'll have about 40 missionaries that I'll be working with, to everything from the basics of their instrument to how do we spiritually, like, key into what God's doing and follow him. So it'll be fun.
Sounds
We're
fascinating.
Getting ready.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So since you brought up the Pentecost Mass, I suppose we better actually talk about that that's great. All right. So obviously Pentecost, major solemnity in the liturgical year, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the birthday of the church, the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit that we receive in baptism and confirmation.
Right.
And we celebrate this because it is our partaking in the divine nature.
Right.
So it's an important time of year, but specifically, tell us, I mean, what's the plan for the Archdiocese and Pentecost Mass? What's it going to look like? Where is it? When is it? All that sort of thing.
Well, correct me if I get any of this wrong.
Okay, I'll try to.
For a number of years, there's actually been a Pentecost Mass, kind of, I think, in association with Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office that's happened, and I actually was involved in one of those years ago. At St. Charles Borromeo, they've done it in a number of different locations. And this year, there's going to be one that's put on more by the whole Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. So there's, hopefully I get all these groups right, People of Praise, Community of Christ the Redeemer, St. Paul's Outreach, Emmanuel Community, Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office are all involved in collaborating and putting on this Mass. So it'll be a number of these different groups who are, you know, alive in the Holy Spirit and want to celebrate Pentecost as mm-hmm. best we can together. And that's one of the things that's really been cool about planning this is, in my experience of the Holy Spirit, it's just like when you come and you encounter the Lord in this way, He's about unity. Mm. You know, He wants to bring people together. He wants to accomplish things through many people. It's not just about one person or one, you know, it's, there's this unity that happens when we're coming together to celebrate the release of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so that's been a really cool thing to be a part of. So these groups are putting on this Mass this year. It's not just one group. It's a number of groups, which is exciting. And it is going to be on June 8th, 7 to about 9. And the plan is there's going to be a Mass, a Pentecost Mass. So it'll be the vigil for the Pentecost.
Sure.
And that'll be great. Both bishops will be with us to celebrate Mass. And it'll have, hopefully we'll have great music, and we'll have, a number of people there. So it'll be fun to be with a bunch of people, celebrating Pentecost together. And then after that, actually we'll transition right into just a time of prayer, to seek the Lord and His will for kind of moving forward, from this Mass and what He has for us. And so we'll take just, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of hour and a half, just to pray and sing to the Lord and be together and experience the Holy Spirit. And you know, He, the Holy Spirit, is the one that Jesus said, it's good that I go so that I can send the Spirit to you and so that you can experience me in the Spirit. And so we're going to do that. We're going to just pray and open ourselves to God's will for us and listen to Him. So it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it sounds excellent. And all this is taking place at St. Peter's in Mendota, if I've got that right. And June 8th, 7, you said, so the Mass itself is probably going to be a couple hours.
No, it won't be a super long
Mass itself will be
It will be a fairly standard Mass. But it'll have the readings for Pentecost.
It'll fulfill the Sunday obligation. But it's a time then afterwards of being open to prayer, to worshiping the Lord, hearing from the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. All right. Very good. So I assume, like every Mass, this is open to anybody and everybody.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would you say, we have a minute left, so I'm going to just, I'm going to pitch you the hard question when you don't have a lot of time to answer. So what would you say to somebody who says, well, this doesn't sound very Catholic to me, this whole, you know, we're doing this worship stuff, pray stuff, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm just there for Mass, that's all I want. What would you say to somebody to encourage them to maybe try it out?
I would say exactly that. Give it a shot. God wants to stretch us and God wants to help us to, He's the one who teaches us how to pray. You know, the disciples came to the Lord and said, teach us how to pray. Mm-hmm. And that's the attitude we want to have is not necessarily, I know everything. And I know I don't know everything about how to pray or anything like that. But I want to come to the Lord and say, teach me how to pray. And so I just challenge them, come, see what it's about. Try it out. It's old. This isn't a new thing. It's not a newfangled thing. It's an old thing. It's a way that Christians have been praying for a long time. It's Catholic. It's very, very Catholic. Mm-hmm. And it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so come and try it out and see what God does and be open to what He wants to do in all of our lives. So.
Yeah, being open to Him, that's good. Well, again, the Pentecost, Archdiocese and Pentecost Mass, June 8th, Saturday, June 8th, 7 to, well, we'll see how long it goes there at St. Peter's in Mendota. Well, Abe, we wish you all the best. We'll be praying for you, and we hope that things continue to go really well as you seek to walk ever more closely with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks
we'll
for being on
there.
Rediscover Hour. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Thanks, Abe. We're going to head into our break, but when we come back, Father Spencer Howe is with us to talk about an outreach to the artistic community during Art of World. So stay with us.
And he says towards the end of his email, by the way, Drew, there is no God. If there were, and He was a loving God, my aunt wouldn't have gotten MS. Innocent children wouldn't get cancer. Stop the nonsense. Pretty much what he says. April's listening to us in Minnesota. Hi, April.
I just wanted to comment on that. I have MS. I have back problems. I got so many issues. I become closer to God through my minimal suffering, in comparison to what Jesus did for us, it is only because of Relevant Radio that I know how to recognize how my suffering is a blessing from God.
Faustina wrote one day, "The Lord gave me to understand what unimaginable glory awaits the person who resembles the suffering of Jesus here on earth. I just say to you, suffer well, okay? United to that of the Lord."
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show.
4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
And with the Lord, there is mercy. And with the
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, Father Spencer Howe, since 2017, parochial administrator of Holy Cross Catholic Church, and which is a multi-campus parish in northeast Minneapolis, Northeast, as they like to say. He wrote his Sacred Theology Licentiate Thesis at the Lateran University in Rome on G.K. Chesterton's conversion reception in Italy during and after his lifetime, which sounds fascinating. Well, Father, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Great to be here, Patrick. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things that we could be talking about, I know, but we're here specifically. I'm just intrigued about an outreach to the artist community that's going on this weekend, May 17th, 18th, 19th, there at St. Clement's, is it?
Indeed.
Yeah. Tell us about how this whole thing came to be.
Well, the Northeast neighborhood in Minneapolis has been the arts district since the 80s, certainly, as the artists kind of came to fill a part of the city that was in need of a newness and a revitalization. And that's continued to grow through the years. So Art of World started, I think, 24 years ago, as they were getting ready to just gather artists together for the sake of building community in the city and bringing people out to see. It continues to be known as the largest open studio art festival in the nation. And the churches of Northeast have opened up in various ways, typically St. Mary's, Russian Orthodox. But we're really thrilled that St. Clement, beginning last year, started an outreach to that by gathering artists and inviting them to show their art and inviting performers, musicians, others to come and be a part of a kind of a festival weekend at St.
Right.
Clement. So,
well, it seems in some way just a no-brainer. I mean, you've got all this great and wonderful things happening that's really a community-based event.
Correct.
That's going on around you, and then you're right there in the heart of it. So why not, right?
Really, if you've never seen St. Clement, the property that's there, that intersection of Lowry and Central Avenue continues to be one of the most vital parts of the city.
Yeah.
Huge amount of walking traffic, mm-hmm. lots of businesses, lots of restaurants. Our parking lot is known or considered one of the great resources of the city as people park and enjoy the restaurants nearby. But really, it's an exciting cultural zone of that city. And we're really excited that at St. Clement, we have both a visibility, but a place of hospitality we can invite people in and enjoy. This year, we're excited especially about bringing more music outside. We'll have a large tent in the parking lot and looking forward to featuring some musicians. But really looking forward to kind of a festival weekend. We're one of the many locations, probably more than 60 locations for Art of World throughout that neighborhood. But we consider ourselves, even though one of the newest, one of the best and brightest.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about last year. What was the response like, both from the artists and the community, that St. Clement was actually able to open its doors for this?
So one of the taglines that we used as we advertised last year is St. Clement is open for Art of World, because there were a lot of people that drive by and don't always see the church open or imagine that perhaps it had closed. There was a longtime pastor who for many years served, Father Earl Simonson, who retired just a couple of years ago. And so I think just to underline that fact that the church continues to be alive and open, open to the arts, open in support and patronage of the arts, we had a great response from neighbors, from visitors from around the Archdiocese. There was a great Catholic Spirit article that just drew attention to what was going on at St. Clement. But we heard a lot of positive feedback. It was a modest first year. The other thing was really pretty poor weather. So we're hoping for sunshine in May. It's always in the middle of May, third weekend of May. But we're really excited about kind of building on the successes. Really a lot of positivity for the people that came. Luke Spihar played a concert. We had lots of artists. I think we had a dozen artists last year. Most of them are coming back this year in addition to another six or eight. So we have nearly 20 artists displaying and very excited about the relationships in the community that's been fostered even through the last year.
Right.
There's actually been the formation of what's called the Faithful Art Guild, which is a group of artists in the Twin Cities that have sort of banded together and tried to spend time in ongoing formation and in building community among themselves. So.
I love it, yeah. And were you giving, am I remembering correctly, you were giving tours of St. Clement too, weren't you, during Art
World? We did last year and we will again. We really featured St. Clement not only as the venue, but really as part of the
right.
display. And I think the stained glass windows at St. Clement are really some of the finest in the Archdiocese. So
yeah.
We're really excited to have the church open. We'll have historic vestments displayed in the church.
Nice.
Chant music and other music throughout the days. But the church tours are listed on the flyer and online. Very excited about the chance to show people St. Clement, especially if they've never seen it.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is beautiful. Personally, having been there, it's a beautiful, beautiful church. So I'm going to ask you to think and speak theologically here for a moment, as I know you are very well capable of. So oftentimes, it seems to me like oftentimes in today's world anyway, the church isn't exactly sure what to do with artists, and maybe the artists aren't exactly sure what to do with the church. But, of course, in the Catholic tradition, we have some of the most profound artists and artistic expressions throughout really history of the last 2,000 years. And with that, and we're thinking also about the transcendental of beauty and how it's important that we continue to allow people to have an encounter with the Lord in and through beauty. What would you say is the role of the church in terms of fostering the arts and in helping people to encounter God through beauty?
It's the million-dollar question, Patrick. It's a great way to put it. It goes back to the garden. Obviously, Adam becomes the first artist as he not only looks upon the beauty of Eve and sees what God has created and says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this one at last shall be called Eve. And, of course, that's an act of poetry, really, is the first love song or poem that's ever uttered. But beyond that, Adam is given a task to cultivate and care for the earth and really become a co-creator, a cooperator with the Creator. Artists don't create anything from scratch. They begin with what God has already made, and they use those materials in all the different mediums of art. And we're in this month of May, and you think about Our Lady and how many different ways she's been depicted and all the different colors and hues and all the different forms that she has taken. And what a beautiful thing that all that God has made, all that is creation, has been used by artists through the centuries to allow Mary's face to be known and to be seen. So I think Adam becomes the sort of prototype of every artist who really is at work in the garden, not only to feed his family and to protect and provide for his family, but to make, especially after the fall, to continue to make the world that we inhabit beautiful and livable. And this is why every person who owns a home has the opportunity to make their home beautiful and to make their home theirs. And this is certainly something that we learn from Adam and Eve. And even in the fall, beauty is not lost, that there's a hope of that restoration. And so I think Adam begins to kind of show a path forward to become a co-creator and really rediscover our own dignity and find a path to salvation and redemption through that work of being co-creator and artist.
Yeah, fantastic. Well answered, if I do say so myself. All right, so let's talk a little bit more, going back to Art of World, and what's if someone were to come to St. Clement. Well, first of all, we should talk about where St. Clement is located, what's going on there at each of the days. Today, May 17th, tomorrow, well, it depends on when you're listening, of course. May 17th, 18th, 19th, give us an overview of what's going on there at St. Clement and what kind of art people will encounter.
So St. Clement, as I said, is just off the corner of Lowry Avenue and Central. It's one block in from Central at Jackson. And there's a big construction project going on across the street, but
of
our
course.
Parking lot is wide open.
Good.
There's lots of building going on in Northeast these days. But St. Clement has a great place. There's street parking. It's an easy place to get to. There are shuttle buses running throughout the city for Art of World that are free, and you can find more information about those on the Art of World website. But the great thing about the shuttle buses, they don't bring you right to St. Clement, but they drop you off just a few blocks south of there at Edison High School.
Oh, nice.
So I invite you, if you'd want to participate in the shuttle buses, you can do that. It kicks off Friday evening from 5 to 10 p.m. We've got all sorts of opportunities to really enjoy all the displays of art. We'll be hosting a couple of things, including a food truck outside.
Nice.
There's Polish beer and craft beer. We actually have craft beer from Norcia, made by the monks of Norcia.
I'm there.
We have a church tour at 7 p.m., and a concert of praise by Alex Schindler, a local musician.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to lead a concert of praise in the church.
She's There's been activities. Featured on the Rediscover Hour in the past? Yes, absolutely. Okay, go ahead.
Activities, make and take sorts of things for kids and families. That Friday night is really the smallest night in Art of World. Generally, a lot of people don't go out that Friday night, but we invite you to come and see all the artists and enjoy the festivities. Saturday really is the big day, and that's all day from about 9 to 8 p.m., we have a vintage rummage sale taking place outside in the parking lot.
Really?
And it's a neighborhood that loves the vintage house goods and all sorts of things. So we're looking forward to having, already had lots of donations, and stop by for the vintage sale from 9 to 2. But we also have food trucks throughout the day. There's some local St. Paul women who own a cold brew coffee food truck. And so we're excited that the Hen House will be present.
All right.
As well as the Chef Lucas school bus, which is a commercial kitchen on wheels, and they're going to be feeding people all day. All of that food is free, and we're really excited about
Whoa. All of that food is
free.
Free?
Free.
You're
Come on out and
me.
Check it out.
Oh, my goodness.
Chef Lucas Food, it's a great partnership that we've had with the parish.
Oh.
And they've started a nonprofit that really does good with food. And so we're partnering with Chef Lucas just to feed whoever comes and whoever's looking for a good meal.
Fantastic.
Served out of a school bus. There's a special Saturday Mass at 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, great.
On Saturday, and then church tours throughout the day, 11:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 3:30 p.m.
Mm.
We also have a kind of an extended live music session outside under the tent from 5:30 to 9 p.m. And we're really excited about three particular bands. When We Land, Minneapolis band, Ali Aliyah from Duluth.
Oh, yeah. We've had her on the show,
great,
too.
Great singer and songwriter. And Ben Noble is gonna close out the session. So really excited about these three acts. Looking forward as well to more partnerships with music going forward, especially at September Fest at our big parish festival. So Saturday's a long day. The artists are showing all day from noon to 8 p.m.
And that's in the church hall. Yeah. Okay. All right. How about Sunday? You got stuff going on Sunday too, yeah?
We do. Chef Lucas is back. They're going to be serving some brunch off of the bus. Again, it's free. Look forward to having you come. The Hen House will be back serving coffee and gelato. We've got Sunday Mass at 11 a.m. It's our normal parish Mass. You're all invited. We also will close the day with a 4 p.m. Mass.
Nice. So
again, a parish Mass. And then throughout the afternoon, we'll have ethnic food, German currywurst, and Polish hot dogs. So you're all invited. We're excited that our Polish community from Holy Cross is going to be a part of that. Live music will be around. We'll have an accordion wandering around the neighborhood.
Nice.
Lots of good things to come and enjoy.
Oh, my gosh. This just sounds fantastic. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to cancel all my plans for this weekend, and I'm just going to hang out there. What a great way that the church is exactly what it's meant to be, in the center of the community, people coming in, people going, people having this encounter to, or having this opportunity to encounter the Lord. And the church is just right there in the midst of all the people, and which is it's just a wonderful example. Yeah. Well, Father Spencer, if we're getting to this place where we've only got about a minute left, but just thinking about if as you are continuing on and hoping to expand this maybe in years to come and want to be more and more involved, anything that you would just say to all the parishes out there in terms of how they do outreach with their communities that they're in?
It seems to me that one of the greatest calls that we have as parishes is to live in the neighborhoods where we are and to really embody Christ in those neighborhoods. And I think we need to find points of contact that aren't always the points of contact that we've used in the past. But beauty is one of those new points of contact, tradition, history.
Mm-hmm.
These are points of contact, shared goods that can really build bridges into the culture and into the community. So the church has always been a patron of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that in ongoing ways, our patronage of the arts at St. Clement can really build on that and allow other parishes to find ways they can contribute in communion and contribute and build up the culture in their local communities.
Wonderful. Well, before we let you go, Father Howe, could you give us a quick on-air blessing as well?
Absolutely. The intercession of St. Clement, Pope and Martyr, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Spencer Howe, and God's blessings to you and all that you're doing here with Art of World. I hope it's fantastic.
Thanks so much.
All right. We're going to go into our final break. When we come back, we've got more information on Art of World, but of course, all the other things that are going on as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money.
like the local bank or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I am already dreaming about getting out of here.
Sounds like a great
and
time.
And getting over to St. Clement. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, Paul, you've got some information about
Art of World. Let's recap here. Father Spencer Howe, for the second straight year, will be opening one of the campuses of his Holy Cross Parish in Northeast to a group of Catholic artists, Faithful Art Guild, for their Faithful Art Show during the Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association annual Art of World event. This year, there will be close to 20 Catholic artists in the basement of St. Clement, May 17th through 19th. Beyond the visual artists, there will be other activities, including tours of St. Clement Church, food trucks, concerts, and more. For information, search Faithful Art at St. Clement on Facebook.
Not just food trucks, but free food trucks.
Free food trucks.
Oh, my gosh. All right, and we still have ordination coming up. So Saturday, May 25th at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, join us for the special event where Archdiocesan fourth-year seminarians will be ordained as priests. On this joyful occasion, the public is invited to participate in the ordination rites for these men for priestly ministry and to receive a blessing from our new priests. For more information, visit the events page at archsbm.org. You are also welcome to join in a holy hour for priesthood ordinandi on Friday, May 24th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the St. Paul Seminary. So it's the day before, Friday, May 24th, 5 to 6 at the St. Paul Seminary. Pray with and for Deacons Joseph Connolly, Louis Floater, Joseph Gifford, Andrew Zipp, and Seraphim as they prepare for ordination to the priesthood on May 25th.
Join the staff of St. Paul's Street Evangelization Saturday, July 13th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center to learn how to evangelize in your everyday life in easy and fun ways. This basic evangelization training includes presentation, small group discussion, practice, role-playing, and more. Cost is $25 per person. That includes the full-day workshop, all materials, and a light lunch. For more information, visit the events page at archsbm.org and register today.
And grandparents, save the date, Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will take place again Saturday, August 24th, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The conference will include keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, who's the founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. We will also have an hour of adoration led by Bishop Andrew Cousins and more. Find more details and register at www.catholicgrandparenting.org.
All right, lots of things going on.
Yeah, there's just, it's a wonderful thing as kind of the program year comes to a close. There's still plenty of things going on as people are wrapping up the program year and getting ready for summer.
Oh. Well, we're going we hope it's coming.
We hope so. Right, exactly. Well, we're going to keep going here at the Relevant Radio Rediscover Hour as well. So next time, we're going to have Dale Ahlquist, president of the Society of Gilbert Keith Chesterton.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yes, it will.
I always like to see Dale.
Yeah. Also, Rochelle De La Cruz of Corporate Travel Agency. More information about the upcoming Grandparents Pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And joining us to talk about updates at the Newman Center at the U of M, Brother Ken Apuzzo, Director of Campus Ministry. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey,
They're There for Life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.